Our next panelist is the President and CEO of DataGrow Consulting Limited, one of the world's leading consulting companies specialized in agricultural markets serving clients in 41 countries. As a former executive director and president of the board of Brazilian Association of Automotive Engineers, he helped design the ethanol specifications, which enabled the use of ethanol in fuel-injected engines. He's with extensive experience in trade negotiations and trade disputes at the International Trade Commission and the World Trade Organization. Dr. Nestari has acted before the Brazilian government as chief economist in the trade disputes involving ethanol exports to the U.S. But I just have to say he's a phenomenal mind when it comes to ethanol, and I want to thank him for being a great host when we recently went to Brazil. But without further ado, Dr. Nestari.
Thank you.
I'm going to be talking about how we see exports evolving, and I'll start from the benchmark of 2011 when we had record exports out of the U.S. And essentially, since 2011, these exports have fallen out of the U.S. basically because of the reduced volumes going to Brazil and to Europe. And part of this reduction was compensated by greater exports to geographies like Philippines and Peru. And we see that the big strength is exactly what has been mentioned before, which is the price competitiveness. And we see as a very startling reality that octane is being priced and ethanol is being valued for that in places which we hardly could imagine would be relevant, like Iraq. That's why in the Middle East, Dubai has become a significant hub for ethanol. So this table summarizes essentially how we have seen destination markets for U.S. ethanol evolving in these past 3 years. And you can see that Canada still has held up its position at around the 300 million gallons benchmark. Brazil has fallen from 320 to 32 last year, 2013. And we see the reduction that happened to destinations like Netherlands, UK, and other European countries, and how the new destinations have built up, in particular in Asia, in the Middle East, which are welcomed and which show the strength of ethanol's penetration because of its octane price. And the issue is whether we are going to be seeing these volumes to go beyond the 5 to 8 to 9% range of the total U.S. market that we have seen in these past few years. In Brazil, which has, which used to be and had been a good destination for U.S. ethanol, much of the problem has laid in the fact that Brazil has faced in the past 4 to 5 years difficulties coming from the uncertain government policy towards biofuels and climate. That's that has been captured by this graph, which shows the supply of total reducing sugars, which is sugar plus alcohol converted in the same basis, sugar equivalent, shows that Brazil produces around 86 million tons of sugar equivalent. And you can see in these most recent years how total supply has varied a lot. And in this past crop of 13-14, Brazil has very barely recovered the previous record, which was achieved in 10-11. Much of these changes in supply have been captured by the hydrous market, as you can see. So not so big variation in the sugar production and in the anhydrous production, which is the one blended in gasoline, and more in the hydrous market. And part of these changes have brought opportunities for complementation of the Brazilian supply from imports. In this graph, we show the arbitrage for sending ethanol from the U.S. to Brazil, something that we monitor every week. And you can see that recently, since September last year, the arbitrage has been open for U.S. Exports of ethanol to Brazil again. And that is what is happening, mostly to the northeast region, which is facing drought problems. And it's happening essentially because it is cheaper to bring ethanol from the Gulf Coast in the U.S. than to send it from São Paulo to places like Belém, Manaus, Fortaleza, and this is happening. And there are vessels coming also to Paranaguá and Santos now in the off-season of the Brazilian crop. In the opposite way, our calculation of the arbitrage of sending ethanol from Brazil to the U.S., shows a negative arbitrage at this moment. That's why exports of ethanol from Brazil to the U.S. have fallen in recent months as well. Much of this competitiveness between U.S. and Brazil is driven by exchange rates. And last May, the exchange rate held to the dollar was 1.95, highs to the dollar. Now it's 2.4. So cost-wise, competitiveness-wise, you know, exchange rates are key for that. And so we have to monitor exchange rates permanently to check the viability of these flows. But a factor which has been influencing the whole market and the demand for ethanol in Brazil is this government policy that I referred to, which is very detrimental. It's a populist policy in which the federal government is subsidizing gasoline consumption by setting a artificially low price for gasoline at the refinery level, which is killing Petrobras, but it's also harming the ethanol industry. At the end of January, the subsidy, as we estimate, is 13.3%. And since Brazil and the U.S. have a shared market, of course, this gasoline subsidy is affecting penetration of ethanol, not only Brazilian ethanol, but also U.S. ethanol in Brazil. In these maps, we show research that we do. We monitor permanently the penetration and the competitiveness of hydrous alcohol versus gasohol, E25, in Brazil. On a regional basis, and I'm showing here November and December. In dark green is where we find price ratios between hydrous ethanol and E25 in the range of 60 to 65%, so very competitive for hydrous. In light green, 65 to 70, still very competitive for hydrous. And in the other colors, above 70%, where gasoline should be preferred. And in spite of the fact that pretty much in the north-northeast, hydrous ethanol is not too much used, let's remember, there's a lot of anhydrous ethanol being used and blended in gasoline because it's mandatory in Brazil to have 25%, which is, by the way, the renewable super premium fuel that people are talking about. We have 100% renewable super premium in Brazil, if anyone wants to see it, you know. Much of this demand is driven by relative prices between sugar and alcohol, and here we are showing the relative prices of domestic sugar, anhydrous ethanol, and New York number 11 sugar. Essentially, you can see that the green line, which is anhydrous, is the one that has been providing the greatest return to producers. So it's the preferred product. The second is the blue line, which is domestic sugar. And the third is the purple line, which is hydrous ethanol. The least remunerative product is sugar for exports. And so in spite of the subsidy on price of gasoline in Brazil, still ethanol has been providing the best or the greatest remuneration to producers. Of course, this is a market, and depending on the price of sugar, if prices of sugar recover, eventually producers will tend to produce more sugar, less alcohol, and the balance may shift, and there may be other opportunities to import ethanol. Sugar exports have fallen, but ethanol exports have fallen more. We see that this year, 2014, Brazilian exports tend to fall and imports to rise, in particular to the Northeast, basically from the high cost of transferring ethanol from São Paulo to the North, Northeast, in spite of the depreciated currency. And this table shows how exports out of Brazil have fared in these past 3 years. And you can see that there's a big dependency for Brazilian exports and growing dependency to the U.S. market, as this past year, 432 million gallons were sent to the U.S. But still markets which are being held up by Brazil are Korea and Japan, and also expanding markets in the Middle East and Asia. Essentially, I would like to say a final note on this EPA's pending decision. The Brazilian industry, as we see, is following closely and watching very closely what is happening. Brazil and the U.S. have a shared market, and it's a common market today. Probably advanced cane ethanol is the product which is going to be first impacted by a policy reversal, which we hope doesn't happen. We have to remember that this would be a big setback, since Brazil has invested a great amount of money in logistics, a billion-dollar pipeline, and capacity expansion in preparation for compliance with RFS2 targets. The same setback would be seen not only in cane-producing area like Brazil, but in other geographies like Colombia, Peru, Argentina, Paraguay, the Caribbean, which would certainly undermine efforts to expand ethanol production and trade. So it's key that Washington keeps its word, and we hope that that happens for the benefit of an expanding ethanol market. Thank you very much.